Welcome back to Aramajik. I'm your host, Eric, and I'm the one who finally watched Wish on Disney Plus. And with me is my amazing co-host, Niels.
Hello, everyone. I'm Niels, and I'm that guy who was lucky enough to attend to the Disneyland Paris Cast Live and Inside Ears Music News and Magic Anniversary event on the 12th of April.
So cool.
And to today's show, we're saying goodbye to Studio One in Walt Disney Studios Park.
Yes, it's so bittersweet. But before we get to all that, Niels, what has caught your eye in the world of European theme parks in the last month? I can probably guess already what it is.
Yes, well, my news is related to this Inside Ears event.
Yeah.
It's the most important change probably coming to the Walt Disney Studios Park. We knew already about the lake, Frozen Land, the Tangle Ride, the new, well, Efteling style restaurant,
oh, yeah,
the gardens, and everything else coming to that park. But in the conference on the 12th of April, to which I had just referred in my intro, president of Disneyland Paris, Natasha Rafalski, and executive creative from Walt Disney Imagineering, Tom Fitzgerald, who also came over, revealed a new name for the park, and it's Disney World. No, I wrote that down wrongly, right?
It's Disney Adventure World.
Adventure World. Yeah, it's Disney Adventure World.
The other way around sounds better.
Yeah, yeah. For me, it's World of Adventure. But Disney Adventure World, indeed. Yeah.
They should have done that.
With a logo that looks a little bit similar to Disney Plus, in my opinion.
It does look very similar, yeah.
Yeah. But this new name will be introduced when the Frozen Land is ready. And along with the name Studio One and the overall park build-up will also change from the studio concept about making movies at the behind-the-scenes theme that we have right now. The park will transform to, well, more like a Hollywood world premiere scene in the entrance area, what we now know as Front Lot and Studio One. That will become
right,
like the house of movies. And in the area right behind the structure, Studio One. We will get a theater district. We already saw concept art from the early days that was never realized, but I'm happy that we will get it right now with lots of green and, of course, the different theaters that we already have. In this way, they will feel more connected and fit in the whole story.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and behind the theater district, we can then deep dive into the movies, and that's where we have the lake with the worlds around it of Pixar, Marvel, and Frozen. So that feels like a logical build-up from the movie premiere to the theater district, and then a deep dive into some of those movies. So, yeah. What do you think, Eric, of all this?
Yeah, I mean, now that you gave the whole breakdown, honestly, I think they need some sort of portals or something when you're doing the deep dive into the different lands. It's going into the design scheme of what Epic Universe is currently building in Florida, where you enter each land through a themed portal. But yeah, I think it's great to see Disney investing in the second gate. I love the concept art we saw from inside the new Studio One, aka now called World Premiere, right? Mm-hmm. The Hollywood Garden restaurant looks fabulous, and I hope the menu will get reworked as well, so we don't just get burgers. But I'm super happy that the Imagineers decided to keep around that golden age of Hollywood aesthetic. The new entryway into the main park, which features that great movie ride style theater marquee, is also fabulous and will look so good with all the neon lights blinking. That being said, I don't think the new park's name really matches what it is presenting. Since we're not demolishing Studio One and the entire entrance sequence still feels very studios, I'm a bit surprised that Studios does not appear in the name somewhere like it does in Disney's Hollywood Studios in Orlando. Disney Adventure World also sounds more like a resort name to me, like featuring like multiple parks, kind of like Disney World in Orlando. Yeah. So I'm a bit meh on the name, honestly. I don't hate it, but I don't really love it either.
I understand.
And what you said earlier, Disney World of Adventure, sounds so much more intuitive to me. And that sounds like a single park rather than multiple parks.
Yeah.
But
I think I feel the same about the name. It's not bad. It's not great, but it's okay. And I'm especially happy that it's like a fresh start for this park with a new name, new logo.
Right, exactly.
A different setup. And let's hope that it will only get better.
A nice rebrand.
Yeah.
I think with a logo, they could have gone in like this 1920s style, like keeping in the design scheme of the world premiere, as we have to call it now. So I think that would have been more consistent. So since the new logo does feel very Disney Plus-y and modern, as you mentioned.
And what I saw on the concept art is that they also take off the number one from Studio One.
Yeah.
I think I saw just the Disney D on top of it for now.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if they will also take down then the two on the Studio Theater and the five on the Crush Coaster building, because it's all studios at this moment.
I wonder what they'll do there. That'll be interesting to see. I mean, it's a detail, but it's a detail that fans will notice for sure. Yeah. So, well, I'm super excited for the future of our little second gate, and props to the designers who created that wonderful concept art, because it just looks fabulous. Really nice. Other announcements that caught our attention were that we finally have a date for the new outdoor arena show in Disney Adventure World Park. Boy, it's going to take me a while to get used to saying that. Alice and the Queen of Hearts Back to Wonderland will premiere on the 25th of May, 2024. So
that name is far too long, right?
Yeah, it's a whole sentence.
Back to Wonderland would be fine for me.
Back to Wonderland would be enough, yeah. Yeah, so we don't have long to wait, though, before it premieres. I'm really excited for it because everything that I've seen so far looks out there, which I love weird Disney shows. So I think this one, as long as it's entertaining and it's got a good pace, I'm here for it. Yeah, keeping an open mind.
Yeah, it's interesting indeed, because it's BMX stunt show. It's
like music, trampolines too, as well.
It's a musical show, so it should be mainly songs. What I've heard in the preview was like rock, pop music. It's a completely different thing than what you probably would expect from Alice in Wonderland, but this will be like a math party, I guess. And and usually the entertainment is quite good at Disneyland Paris, so let's hope for the best. Yeah, I was able to have a close look at the costumes as part of the Inside Ears day.
And what did you think?
Yeah, it looked really nice.
Okay, good.
There's quite a lot of detail in the outfits. Yeah, and of course, when you're sitting in that huge theater, you're a bit further away. Yeah. So we'll have to see how that works out, but from a detailed look up close, it looked really, really nice. There was a lot of detail in there, yeah.
The Queen really has like this kind of rock and roll interpretation in the show. So I can imagine her like holding an electric guitar and really rocking out on that stage.
Cool. And that first song, Welcome to Wonderland, was quite nice.
I liked it too.
They already did it in the preview. At first I was one, I'm not sure. And then while the song was like 1 minute further, I thought, oh, nice. I already know the lyrics and it felt good. So
So exciting. I'll insert a short clip here for our listeners. Welcome to Wonderland. What a joy that you've arrived. Here in Wonderland, where the magic comes alive. Everything you see is not what it seems to be. Here in Wonderland. Welcome to Wonderland. Welcome to Wonderland. Welcome to Wonderland. So, furthermore, starting from this year onward, all bungalows at Disney Davy Crockett Ranch will undergo gradual replacement, ensuring visitors experience the latest standards and accommodation while still enjoying a nature retreat. This refurbishment endeavor will introduce a new thematic element to the hotel, featuring references to Disney characters like Junior Beavers, joined by Donald and his pals. The new design continues Disney's trend of inserting intellectual property into all new projects. Niels, as a Davy Crockett Ranch connoisseur, what do you think of this news?
Yeah, I love it. And I think the Junior Woodchucks theme works really well with the forest and the nature environment and the whole theme of the ranch. So I was just a little surprised because I was expecting Chip and Dale to take over.
Oh, that would have also been a good match, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and also because they're already retheming it the last 1 or 2 years.
Right.
And so the feedback cards in the bungalows, the TV menu screens, the magic passes that were changed per hotel recently, they all feature Chip and Dale, the hotel map as well. So taking away Mickey and introducing Chip and Dale. And now
fan favorites too.
We get a new theme. But maybe a combination could be possible as well. I'm not sure. But but overall, I love the idea. I think it's a really great match with the ranch. So happy to see a little bit more Disney inside the bungalows as well.
Yeah, I mean, it is on theme in the sense that it's very nature related, right? So that does work.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to miss those lovely prints of like Fort Comstock.
Yeah, the Fort Comstock.
But
yeah.
I think
yeah.
this will be more in your face type Disney IP, which I think some kids are going to enjoy.
Yes. And I think in general, a lot of people will be, feel attracted to this this art and book Davy Crockett Ranch.
I wonder how much they're going to change in the cabins themselves. Like, it sounds like they're going to do a complete replacement of the cabins, right? Like, take the old one out and put a new one in. So I wonder if the exterior...
So the park won't close and they just do it, I think, loop by loop. Or and then just change some out, some in, connect everything and... ready to go. So they will do this as a phased rollout.
Yeah, that's really good strategy.
Over a year, maybe 2 years.
Yeah, nice. I wonder if the exterior is going to change at all, if we're going to get a new, more modern look on that front as well.
Yeah, we have not seen any art from the outside.
Nope.
So
well, we'll see.
Yeah.
So in this month's Patreon exclusive show, we're talking all about the biggest new attractions coming to European theme parks this year, 2024. Get access to this exclusive episode as well as all of our other fabulous Patreon exclusive content over on patreon.com/ermagique. Yeah, if you want to support the show and help us out, then yeah, we'd love to see you over there. Thank you so much, guys. On to this month's main topic. Disney Studio One is an enormous film set, a mythical Hollywood street scene featuring famous landmarks. Major changes are coming to Studio One in the near future. Restaurant en coulisses, Legends of Hollywood, and Hollywood Jewel Box last day of operations will be April 24th. So that's the last day to enjoy Studio One in its current iteration. According to the plans leaked last summer, the restaurant will be converted into a movie premiere restaurant party, which, we've gotten confirmed now. So those leaks were actually accurate, which is nice to hear. So, obviously there's going to be a renaming, which we already talked about. But for history's sake, still calling it Studio One in this episode. We're not going to say world premiere.
And it's still Studio One at this moment. So, last time that we can say that.
So nostalgic. The restaurant's capacity will, according to this leak, have 530 seats. Mm-hmm. And there'll also be a single line with 8 checkout stations. I'm sure there's also going to be mobile food ordering.
I guess so. Yeah.
The new Studio One, or World Premiere as it will be called then, is scheduled to reopen sometime in April 2025. During the closure, a side alley will become the park's entrance. To celebrate this monumental change, Niels and I have taken it upon ourselves to dedicate this episode to Studio One. So let's dive right in. Niels, would you do us the honor of sharing your first Studio One secret?
Yes. So let's start with some basic facts about the studio. So this studio is marked on the map as an attraction. and it's basically... the Main Street USA of Walt Disney Studios Park.
Yeah.
It's currently, as you just mentioned in the intro, the place of a large souvenir store, the Pandora Boutique, a face painting workshop as well, a usually closed information counter, a high capacity quick service restaurant, so that's en coulisses. There's also a small coffee corner, that's the Hepcat, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
And of course, there are some restrooms in the back left of the building.
True.
So that will be interesting.
We'll have to update our restrooms episode when that reopens.
Less capacity, not just for food, but also for the restrooms. So if this structure would be used as a real studio or soundstage, then it would have been one of the largest here in Europe when the park opened its doors in the year 2002. And yes, the 70 meters long structure is really impressive. If you're still able to go before the 24th, go in, stand in the middle and look around and see how huge
massive.
It is. It's also the largest structure of Walt Disney Studios Park. So it's even bigger than the big show buildings of Ratatouille or Crush Coaster or Flight Force.
So my first pick focuses on the exterior of Studio One. Niels has also some more fun facts coming up about it, but I wanted to point out that it's built on the so-called built in the so-called Spanish Revival style, which was in vogue in California in the 1920s and 1930s. Its facades have rounded pediments in the style of traditional haciendas. The celebration of California's Spanish heritage is also a major difference between Studio One and the entire front lot in Paris, mm-hmm. when compared to Disney MGM Studios in Florida, the latter of which was more in line with the glamour of cinema's golden age. The designers of Walt Disney Studios Park opted for an approach more linked to European culture. So that is why ours looks quite different than Hollywood Studios over in Orlando, which has always interested me.
Right. Yeah.
Plus, they've got that really big, great movie ride facade with the marquee, which of course now is Mickey's Runaway Railway. Yeah. But we'll be seeing some of that in Paris soon, so that's cool too.
Yeah, interesting.
What's next, Niels?
Yeah, well, this is a short one, but for me a very important fun fact about the exterior Studio One. So the structure's design was inspired by Disney's Hyperion Avenue studio based in Los Angeles, USA. This is the studio where Walt created his Mickey Mouse animated short films, but also another important production for the growth of the company, the first full-length animated movie, the Oscar-winning Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
So iconic.
It's almost, yeah, like looking at a piece of Disney history every time you approach Walt Disney Studios Park. So I think that's very, very cool.
I think it's really interesting that they created Disney Snow White and Seven Dwarfs in such a space that feels more like it's more intended for like live action photography.
Live action movies, yeah.
But that's really, really fascinating. Such a cool piece of park history. And of course, if we've never gotten Snow White, we would have never gotten Disneyland Paris. So
yeah, true.
Yeah, let's talk about the facades that make up so much of Studio One's interior.
Yeah.
They're inspired by a range of Hollywood structures, spanning from the 1920s to the 1960s, drawing from both real-life landmarks and fictional creations. Among these is Crossroads of the World, renowned for its The Gossip Column feature, notable as America's first inaugural open-air shopping center. Conceived by architect Robert V. Dara in 1936, the innovative complex resembles a maritime vessel docked within a quaint village of diverse architectural motifs. The ship's stern is adorned with a towering Art Deco structure housing a luminous globe standing 30 feet or about 9 meters tall. These days, the establishment accommodates a multitude of enterprises, including design studios, production facilities, and talent agencies. Of course, we're in Hollywood. Notably, the Parade Central Control Room of Walt Disney Studios Park was discreetly situated behind the facades of Gossip Column and Last Chance Gas, occupying the second floor. Since the park doesn't feature any regular parades currently, I wonder if it still gets any use for special events like Pride or cavalcades. Yeah. Would be interesting to get a peek behind the scenes there.
Yeah, that would be nice, but
yeah,
I don't think we'll get that.
Nope. So what's next, Niels?
Yeah, next is that we have on the left side when you're inside the studio. That's where you have the big souvenir shop.
Yeah.
The theater has a detailed exterior that was inspired by the movie palaces of Los Angeles back in the days from the 1920s through the 1940s, representing a very important period of time for Walt, the start and the initial growth of the Walt Disney Company. So that's a nice reference again. Inside, you'll find a big screen playing old shorts, making it, well, also a real theater, not just a souvenir shop. So be sure to
that's
look
true.
Up. And maybe, it's positioned a little bit high, but I guess they did that to not limit shop floor space,
yeah,
of course.
To not distract you from looking at all that merch.
No, but I know that a lot of people didn't see that screen at all. As I talked to them, asked about the screen, and they had no clue what I was talking about. And then, well, a next visit,
if you don't
they
look
looked
up, then,
and they said, oh, well, there was a huge screen, and there was playing something all the time. So, yeah. Weird that I missed it last time, but that's really fun. The Pandora boutique that we currently have in the left corner of the store was created some years ago. And the fictional house number of Pandora is 1205, also referring to Walt himself as he was born on December the 5th.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that. That's a fun fact. I like it.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to keep a Pandora store in there, but probably.
I guess so. At this moment, as I visited last week, they already opened a Pandora store in the studio store, I think it's called. So that's in the front lot.
Ah, okay.
And that store was closed for many months. It still looks the same, but it's all repainted and it's got new floors and
nice.
So it's all touched up. And in the In the middle is a huge white Pandora space. It's not matching the interior and the colors of the interior at all. But I guess that's for, let's say, the next year.
Yeah.
To be able to move it back to Studio One at a later point.
It's really a
mismatch with the with the interior of the studios at the moment. But I think that's their solution for now.
I'm a little bummed that they didn't refresh the historical photographs of Walt that hang along the walls because they're quite faded.
Yeah. It
would be nice to get those freshened up as well. But yeah, no, it makes sense, especially a partner like Pandora, who is so heavily linked to Disneyland Paris and sponsors. I don't know if they still do the nighttime entertainment. They did for a really long time.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
It makes sense that they want to sell their merchandise.
Yeah, and I guess they have some kind of multi-year contract, so they should get some store space. Yeah. What's next?
So I'd love to keep sharing more fun facts about the various facades inside Studio One. Mm-hmm. There's so much to cover, but I'll kick things off with Schwab's Pharmacy, which you can spot when entering Studio One from Front Lot. In fact, it's the very first facade on the right-hand side, so it's often missed because you're like focusing towards the rear. The original it's based on was located on 8024 Sunset Boulevard. Schwab's Pharmacy gained renown as a gathering spot and unofficial headquarters for both established and aspiring actors, setting itself apart by embracing individuals from all levels of the entertainment industry hierarchy. It provided struggling performers with a welcoming environment where they could enjoy a complimentary meal, which is really nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So can we also get the complimentary meals, please?
Nothing's free at Disneyland Paris.
Yeah, but for theming, it would be better, Disney.
Right? It would be more in-universe. Yeah. Similar to numerous American drugstores during the mid-1900s, Schwab's offered pharmaceuticals alongside a counter serving ice cream, treats, and light fare. Ultimately, financial challenges led to the closure of Schwab's Pharmacy in October of 1983, followed by the demolition of the building a few years later to make room for a sizable retail development, which is really sad. This is why I appreciate in Europe that we have that historical building protection laws in most countries, so that
you cannot just get rid of it.
You have to embrace it, refurbish it, and then you can put your business inside. But a lot of the details have to remain the same, which is nice. I know some states in the US do this as well, but keep some of those beautiful historical buildings around. They're so cool. So what's next, Niels?
Studio One was originally intended to be called Lights, Camera, Hollywood.
Oh, that just rolls off the tongue. Before,
just like the Ellis Show, it's always too long. But just before the opening of Walt Disney Studios Park, the name was changed to the simpler and easier to remember name Studio One, or Disney Studio One sometimes. But Lights, Camera, Hollywood never totally left. It remained the title of the fictional movie being created here in the studio, and therefore the acronym LCH has been stamped at the back of some of the sets, as on some of the props. So now you know why you maybe saw this acronym in multiple spaces while strolling through the studio, or when you sat behind the timber set with your burger in restaurant Ankulis. But it actually had a meaning.
It's like the DM around Space Mountain, right? Since it was originally supposed to be called Discovery Mountain.
Discovery Mountain.
Very similar situation. Yes. That's funny. Cool. I didn't know that.
Exactly, yeah. And they probably couldn't change it anymore. No. It was already there. So
no, we ran out of spray can budget. Oh, no.
Stay. Yeah. So let's leave it there. Oh, let's say that we're creating a movie here with that name.
Yep. Sure, that's it.
Problem solved.
Yeah, next up is the facade of the Brown Derby restaurant. You can also spot it on your right. In fact, it's right next to Schwab's Pharmacy. The original was situated at 1628 North Vine Street. The Brown Derby restaurant was part of a chain of eateries located throughout Los Angeles, California. The initial establishment was designed to resemble a gentleman's derby hat. Among these, the Hollywood Brown Derby, positioned just south of Hollywood Boulevard on Vine Street, gathered the most fame. Its close proximity to the prominent movie studios attracted a clientele comprising of movie stars, various celebrities, affluent individuals, and influential figures. Ultimately, a significant portion of the building succumbed to a fire in 1987, leaving only a small fragment of its facade intact, which is now being integrated into a new W Hotels project. The caricature sketches exhibited in the Brown Derby segment of Restaurant en Coulisses at Studio One Walt Disney Studios Park are actually replicas of the original drawings once showcased at the Hollywood Brown Derby. So there's a real direct link there, and it goes quite deep, which is pretty cool. I'm so happy to hear that they're preserving part of the facade, at least, with the new hotel project. Yeah. That's really nice. Yeah.
I'm wondering where these pieces of art will go.
Archives, trash, I don't know.
annual pass holder souvenir shop, maybe?
That's also possible, yeah.
Yeah, would be nice to be able to secure a piece of Studio One, but
totally.
I don't think that will happen.
I was so surprised when they sold those Santa Fe lobby figures that once stood behind the check-in desk, so, you know, anything's possible, yeah. I guess.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? Yeah, and if I remember correctly, there's also a Brown Derby restaurant in Walt Disney World in Hollywood Studios.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, good point.
Yeah, and I think that's also one of the more, let's say, upper class restaurants. So that also fits the theme. But it's apparently something that Disney really feels a connection to.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting that we're losing it then, because I think all the facades on the right-hand side, or most of them, are going to be getting replaced, which is why I chose to focus on the right-hand side of Studio One with these fun facts.
There was nothing officially announced for the left side. It will remain a huge store, but not sure if they will change the facades as well there. But
maybe they'll integrate some of the more interesting ones from the right over to the left, just refresh the entire structure overall. So
Could be.
So what's your last pick, Niels?
Yeah, the last one. Above the fake facades in Studio One, there are several cool neon signs that will help creating the Hollywood feel. And one of them says Coconut Grove, and that's the name of a well-known night spot in, that's right, Hollywood. So we also have Carmen's Veranda, and that's a funny wordplay. Carmen Miranda was a famous Portuguese-Brazilian singer and actress who lived from 1909 to 1955. And she starred in several 20th Century Fox movies, a studio nowadays owned by Disney, and known as 20th Century Studios. But the fun fact here is that her sister, Aurora Miranda, appeared in several films, including Disney's The Three Caballeros, in which she was singing together with José and Donald Duck.
Oh, so that's fun.
A nice little connection there.
I think I even have like the visual in my head of that scene. I must have seen it a long time ago. Oh, that's really cool. Yeah. So,
that was my last one. And now yours.
So for my last pick, I'd like to share two short fun facts. So first one, the facade of the Hepcat Club, located on the right-hand side near Leaky Tiki, the facade, is a tribute to the jazz clubs popularized in the 1950s, known for hosting the iconic, quote-unquote, Rat Pack during their era. Meanwhile, the Hollywood and Vine Five and Dime facade evokes nostalgia for the quaint sundry shops of yesteryears, gradually supplanted by larger department stores and supermarkets. Yeah. And these days, probably Amazon warehouse distribution centers.
Yeah, exactly. really nice. So there's a lot of more detail in Studio One than a lot of people probably guessed, I think.
It's really one of my favorite spaces in the studio's park. I think I've mentioned before that I'm such a sucker for like the glamorous 1920s old Hollywood aesthetic. I think it's so beautiful. And Studio One is always serving a consistent vibe. Like, you've always got sunset. It's always wonderful weather. It's never raining.
True.
It's always comfortable.
No.
And there's so much to look at. So it's one of the most highly themed spaces of Walt Disney Studios Park, at least until Ratatouille opened. And of course, now the Avengers Campus, which also has lots of nice little secrets.
And Tower of Terror a little bit the start of introducing more themes.
More theming, that's true.
Attractions, we'll keep those, so that's good.
yeah, that's really good. I'm so happy about that. I'm also really curious what the new land is going to be next to Frozen. So a lot of rumors are pointing towards a Lion King-based land, which is really kind of exciting. I can't really grasp it in my head yet what it's going to look like.
No.
But be interesting.
I think it would be really interesting to get that, because it's something that no other Disney park worldwide currently has. So that's interesting. As there are multiple Avengers themed lands or Marvel lands. There are multiple.
And there's already a Pandora.
Frozen lands. Yeah,
Avatar.
Avatar. Yeah. It's one, and we will get more. We know now. Also, still hoping that we get one in Paris, maybe one day.
Would be nice.
Let's see. But Lion King would be great, as it's something unique for Paris then.
There's enough room around the lake, I feel like, for a Pandora and a Lion King land. Like, I'm just saying.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And otherwise, we are still waiting for a third park, right?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Well, they need to add another attraction or land to Disneyland Park first before they even start considering a third park. But
yeah, true.
I feel like
I agree. But
Universal Studios coming to Europe is the best thing that could have happened to us as fans, because that is some big competition for Disney. And as we know from Orlando, big competition is a good thing for us.
Now have to... push it.
Really exciting future. And love you, Studio One. Take care. Bye-bye. You had a great run.
Goodbye.
Brilliant, Niels.
Yeah, in Dutch we say doei.
How do you say doei? Doei.
Doei. Doei.
Bye-bye.
It's like bye.
That's nice. Awesome. Brilliant, Niels. Where can people find you?
Yeah, please follow me on Instagram and Threads. I'm Niels Capturing Parks. And for all my other activities, please visit CapturingDisneyParks.com. And I also started a hotel-focused Disney account on Instagram, and that's Hotels in the Magic. So feel free to follow along.
If you just found us, be sure to subscribe to Hermagique on your favorite podcasting platform to never miss a future episode. Follow Hermagique on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and check out our website, hermagique.net, for all the latest Disneyland Paris news and European theme park news.
Yes.
Please consider supporting the show on patreon.com/hermagique. You get access to a completely new exclusive episode every month, and it really helps out a lot and keeps the show running. Before we go, we did want to thank some of our patrons, and you can also get in a shout out beginning with the Sequoia tier. So thank you so much to Simon, JB, Andy, Jordan, and Jerry.
Thank you,
guys.
Stay
safe, everyone.
Stay safe.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Doo-doo.
Tahiti Adventure at...
That's a fun name.
Yeah, it's fun, right? Via und Freizeitpark Thule in northern Germany. I was debating on whether or not to include this, but I did because it's just such an interesting ride system. So what sets this attraction apart is the fusion of a dark ride and flying theater attraction. Mm-hmm. So like flying theater reminiscent of Soaring in Orlando, or like This is Holland in Amsterdam. So the experience lasts approximately 7 minutes, and essentially the ride vehicles act as a dynamic simulator, accommodating 4 seats each, traversing a 42-meter, so that's approximately 45 yards, track, with stops at various screens, housed within a show building, which is sadly mostly unthemed. They did add kind of a big poster to the front.
It's something.
Which did help a little bit, but it's something, yeah. The dark ride features a highly themed pre-show with special effects, which somewhat makes up for the simple exterior. The narrative unfolds around a mysterious jungle treasure guarded by the tiki creatures. Notably, a similar experience named World of Memory debuted last year at the German...
That was just a short preview of the full-length Patreon-exclusive show. You can get instant access to this episode, as well as Disneyland Paris Hacks 2.0, Disneyland Paris on a Budget, and the Discoveryland Deep Dive, along with all of our other fabulous Patreon-exclusive episodes, now on patreon.com/hermagique. See you there! Yeah.